Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Tomorrow, we're planning lots of coverage of the final presidential debate from right around here at Hofstra University in Hempstead. We'll be doing the Brian Lehrer Show live from Hofstra tomorrow morning. In the evening, we'll have a pre-debate special and a group blog that you can join at debatecompanion.org. I'll be hosting the pre-debate, which begins at 8 o'clock, and you can participate in our group blog during the debate, along with WNYC political director Andrea Bernstein, on the media host Brooke Gladstone, John Andadora from The Takeaway, and me. That's WNYC's final debate coverage tomorrow morning through tomorrow night on WNYC and debatecompanion.org. Now, is this a good time for a former investment banker and Goldman Sachs vice president to be running for Congress? For someone from a nonprofit organization that's been involved with home equity loans? My next guest hopes so. Jim Himes is challenging Connecticut Republican Christopher Shays in the election. Shays is the only Republican House member left in all of New England. Shays has been named the number one Republican moderate in Congress by Congressional Quarterly, but his Fairfield district is turning ever more blue, and this election is expected to be close. Mr. Himes is even using something that Congressman Shays said on this show last month as campaign fodder. We'll play that clip. But let's meet Democratic candidate Jim Himes. Mr. Himes, thanks so much for coming on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning, Brian. Delighted to be here.
Tell us about your nonprofit that I gather you're on leave from to run for Congress. What was your role in the housing market?
Sure. And I'm glad you asked, because we actually didn't do home equity loans. Most of what we were doing, since we were working mainly in New York City, actually had to do with building rental housing. And Enterprise, which is the organization I worked for the last 6 years, I was basically running their Northeast operations, is a nonprofit that works with community groups, groups like the Abyssinian Development Corporation, Fordham Bedford Housing Corporation, community groups, to build affordable housing in distressed areas. And so what we would do is we would work with these groups to build affordable housing. We would provide equity. We would provide loans. We would provide technical assistance. And the theory is that in distressed communities, if you can get good, affordable housing and maybe attract some retail and equip people to advocate for public safety and for better schools, you can really turn a community around. So, yeah, I tell you, it was wonderful, wonderful work. And I stepped away from that to run for Congress with a certain amount of sadness, because it's really spectacular organization.
So the equity that you were involved with was equity for builders of affordable rental homes?
Mainly, just because so much of what we were doing was in New York City, which is primarily a rental market. And the equity came in the form of the low-income housing tax credit, which is a federal tax credit that is available out there that's, since its inception, has been responsible for about 1.2 million units of affordable housing around the country.
And you weren't helping low-income people to finance owning their own homes?
Not a lot. We did do some of that, that was always an interesting exercise, which sort of foreshadowed some of the challenges that we have today. I'll never forget. You know, we would be very careful about it, unlike the way some of the mortgage brokers were and whatnot. But even when we were very, very careful and made sure that people had the assets to replace the boiler when it blew, we would still after somebody got into a nice apartment that they owned, 2 years later, we'd get the call and say, hey, the roofer needs replacing. We'd say, they'd want to know, where the super was, and we would say, well, you guess what? No super in a home ownership situation.
Right. Well, do you ever follow up and find out, what percentage of the people you were helping to get into home ownership are now in foreclosure?
By far the bulk of them, and no, I don't have numbers, but very, very few of the people that Enterprise worked with wound up in foreclosure, because we were very careful to make sure that people, could well more than cover their mortgage, and that they had assets, again, so when that roof needed replacing and that boiler blew, that they had the money to repair it. And, the deals that were made that we would work on, typically Enterprise would work with the city of New York. It would make free land available. Back in the 80s and 70s, the city of New York accumulated a huge amount of property, and they would make that available to community groups for free in exchange for developing affordable housing. So the terms of the deals that we were involved in were usually pretty light on new homeowners.
And you were an investment banker at Goldman Sachs, so you had that background. I wonder what you thought over the last few years. Did you think that everybody, maybe including the Democrats in Congress, were drinking the subprime Kool-Aid, to pursue their missions of getting more low and moderate income people into their homes through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
Well, you know, we've always been slanted towards putting more people in homes. I mean, as a society, we've had the mortgage interest tax deduction for a long time. And, you know, that's a good thing. That's a fundamentally good thing that we try to get people into home ownership. But when things go haywire, like they went, you know, over the course of the last 7 or 8 years, we're subprime. I mean, you know, you would see the signs, right? No income, no job, no problem. We've got a mortgage for you. You know, when you start seeing things like that, you know that things have gone way, way, way too far. And we're paying the price for that right now.
So I want to play you a clip, because as you run for Congress as a Democrat against Christopher Shays, many analysts say Republicans were certainly to blame for allowing deregulation of the private mortgage market, the credit default swaps and all that, but that House Democrats were the ones who blocked better risk regulation of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Here's a clip of House Financial Services Chairman Barney Frank from a YouTube video that's being widely viewed. I think this is from a congressional hearing in 2004, resisting regulation.
I have seen nothing in here that suggests that the safety and soundness of an issue, and I think it serves us badly to raise safety and soundness as a kind of a general shibboleth when it does not seem to me to be an issue.
Oops. Any reaction to that?
Well, you know, there's no question that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac got themselves into some things that they shouldn't have gotten themselves into. There's no question that Congress put pressure on them to increase the amount of lending, to increase the amount of work that they did in cities and whatnot. But, you know, we need to keep some level of perspective here. I mean, I heard you with Professor Galbraith, right? Let's remember that the total subprime market in this country is less than $1 trillion, about $900 billion, less than $1 trillion. And Fannie Mae in 2006 had loans that were roughly a quarter of that market. So compare that to the $62 trillion, I think was the figure you used, of the credit default swap market. You know, 1/60th of that amount. Compare that to the fact that our investment banks, you know, subsequent to the Graham-Leach-Bliley Act, were completely unregulated or voluntarily regulated, and they were leveraging themselves up, you know, 30-40 to 1. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac need to be scrutinized. We need to do some hard thinking about what the future of those organizations is, but they were a small part of the problem.
Do you think that the federal role should now change with respect to promoting affordable housing? If Fannie and Freddie went bust and housing projects, and I think you used to run the public housing authority in Greenwich, is that right?
I was the chairman of the Board of Commissioners, yep.
Right. So if Fannie and Freddie went bust and housing projects have fallen out of favor and Section 8 vouchers are chronically underfunded, does the whole job need to be reexamined?
Well, you know, there's no question that we're going to swing back to a world where we understand that home ownership involves very real risks, and that, you know, the notion that, you know, as soon as a family is able to, they should jump right into a home because that's a guaranteed way to build assets. That's just not right. It's never been right. We're just unfortunately living with the consequences of it not being right in a dramatic way right now.
Does that mean to focus more on rentals in the future, in your opinion, for affordable housing for a lot of low and moderate income Americans?
Yeah, I think that's probably right. I mean, you know, most lower-income Americans are in rental housing for obvious reasons. And it's not just that. I mean, you know, the whole area has changed quite a lot in the last couple of years. You know, not rental, yes, but also we should be working on creating mixed-income communities, which unfortunately our federal programs right now don't really emphasize or incentivize. We should be focusing on getting that subsidy to incentivize green as well as mixed building. There's a lot we could do if we really thought hard about the federal subsidies that are out there for housing.
All right. Now, you've been using something that Congressman Shays said on this program last month against him in this campaign. I'll play the clip. The congressman was on with us during the Republican convention. This begins with my question.
Let me play you another clip of Senator Obama from his acceptance speech. This is a short one on the economy.
He said that our economy has made great progress under this president. He said that the fundamentals of the economy are strong.
Referring to John McCain, of course. Do
well,
you agree with Senator McCain on that?
Our economy are strong. In the last 5 years, our economy has grown by a greater amount than the entire gross domestic product of China. We simply forget the strength, how we could survive when we started with a recession in 2000, then September 11th, what the body blow that was, Katrina, the body blow that was, Enron, the body blow that was. Yes, our economy is fundamentally strong. No one can disagree with that.
So that was September 1st. Mr. Himes, was that an unreasonable thing for Congressman Chase to say at that time?
Oh, I think it was a crazy thing to say at that time. I mean, it just completely illustrates sort of an utter head-in-the-sand awareness of where we were. I mean, for one thing, when he made that statement, he was saying, look, we had 3% growth. Well, 2 weeks later, the Commerce Department adjusted that down. But also, I mean, hey, we're learning now that the growth that we've had in this country has been driven by free money and an asset bubble that meant it wasn't real growth. And, you know, now we've contracted accordingly. So, yeah, it was just a stunningly inept statement to make. And frankly, people in my district, you know, they're losing their jobs as they are around the country. They're more nervous than ever before about whether they're going to stay in their houses. They're looking at the cost of education. I mean, these are the fundamentals. Housing, job security, education, can I afford health care? And none of those are strong.
Congressional Quarterly named Chris Shays the number one Republican moderate in the House. The New York Times says his positions are similar to yours on health care reform, abortion rights, environmental protection, no drilling in the Arctic Wildlife Refuge. How are you, in your opinion, the most different from Christopher Shays as you see it?
Well, we do share some similarities on some of the issues that you just talked about, but on two, let me say this, on the two critical issues of today, we could not be more different. He has supported the Bush-Cheney economic plans of the last 8 years, lock, stock, and barrel, including, deregulating our financial markets, voting for the Commodities Future Modernization Act, which explicitly forbade the regulation of this $60 trillion derivatives market. He is an unapologetic supporter of the so-called Bush tax cuts of 01 and 03, and I call them so-called Bush tax cuts because they were nothing of the kind. They cut taxes at a time we were going into war, which this country has never, ever done before, and therefore put another $5 trillion on our national debt. So now we're carrying $10 trillion in national debt, and that's a cost that will be paid by my two daughters and the children and grandchildren around this country. So on the economy, we could not be more different. And then on the war.
But on the debt, and I think your differences on the war, you know, are clear, and in our limited time, we'll just state that there were differences on the war along the way, and I think we know that debate. But on the debt, if you're, you know, a deficit hawk, Senator Obama is proposing all kinds of new spending. He came out with a new stimulus program yesterday to go along with the bailout bill. And, you know, economists are estimating next year's deficit, the first year that Obama would be president if he's elected, the deficit would be $750 billion. So as a Democrat running for Congress, would you actually be in a position to increase this national debt more while John McCain is running against it?
Well, in the long run, we need to pay down the national debt. I worked for Bob Rubin for a number of years, and his mantra was deficits matter and deficits do matter. So we do need to pay down that debt. We can't continue in the long run to add to it.
He also greased the wheels for all of this, though.
Well, to your question, in the near term, to revive this economy, we're going to do some things which aren't going to help us pay down that debt. We are going to put in place a stimulus package, which frankly I hope is about investment in infrastructure and investment in people instead of just writing $600 checks that let you go, you know, buy a consumer electronic good. But we are going to have to do a stimulus package. And frankly, I think we're probably going to alter the tax code somewhat so that more money goes into the hands of middle-class people, because that's really the cornerstone of our economy. And yes, I got to admit, in the near term, that is not going to help us pay down the debt. But in the long run, and so we're in a world here where some of the things we need to do in the near term work against us in the long run. I mean, for example, lifting the penalty on withdrawals from 401ks and IRAs. This country doesn't save nearly enough. That's a long-term economic weakness. But Obama's proposal to do that probably makes some sense in the very short term, because
right,
otherwise people are going to get hit with the penalty when they go to buy their groceries with their IRA.
We're just about out of time, but maybe if we're about to have a Democratic president with a Democratic Congress and no other Republicans from all of New England, having a moderate Republican from Connecticut in the House like Christopher Shays is a useful little balance of power. Why not?
Well, I don't think so, Brian. I mean, you know, we're at a moment in our history where we need to do some pretty dramatic things around energy, around healthcare, around education. We need to be visionary and have a mandate. And I'll tell you, I look back to 1964, which was the last time that this country had a Democratic president and substantial majorities, increasing majorities in the House and the Senate. And look what came out of that. 1964, we put in place Medicare, Medicaid, the civil rights legislation, the basis for our environmental regulation. That's the kind of mandate, and that's the kind of vision that we need in January of 2009 if we're to reverse this decline in our country.
Jim Himes, Democrat running for Congress against Republican Christopher Shays in Connecticut. Thanks for coming on with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Congressman Meeks up next from Queens to react to President Bush's new bailout announcements this morning. Stay tuned.